Morning. So happy to see Margaret and the people that gave her a ride today be able to assemble with us. And good to have them with us. And so, Margaret, in honor of you, I'm going to show you what our subject is that I'm doing on your behalf. No, I wasn't going to speak on something else. I didn't change my subject. But no, this is actually on. I wanted to just so happy to see Margaret today. I had to pick on her a little bit. So she's been such a joy to have us to have with us over the years that she was living here in the Des Moines area, and very happy for you guys to be here today. These are usually dreaded words to all of us when we find, oh no, this is a test, when we're in school. And it can even be annoying as an adult when you turn the radio on and you hear these strange noises on. They say, this is a test of the emergency broadcasting system, and we have to put up with that noise while the test is being conducted. I hate to admit this, but it's been 49 years since I graduated from high school. So I'm guessing that teaching has done a little bit different now than it was when I went. So I don't know if today's kids can totally connect with the things that I'm going to bring up today. Maybe the teaching is a totally different platform. But I can't relate to that, so I have to talk about what I have been exposed to. And so you could say the generality of my talk is, what if life was a multiple choice test? And is it a multiple choice test? When I was in school, we had one teacher, a science teacher, that he asked for input from us once in a while. He said, what kind of test would you like to have? Would you prefer to have it be a true-false test, multiple-choice test, fill-in-the-blank test, match up words in two different columns with words in one column and definitions in the other, or an essay? And so, obviously, well, maybe it isn't obvious, but I think the majority of the kids that was in my class said, we want true-false. It gives us a 50-50 chance of maybe getting it right, even if we don't even know what the subject is or what the question is. But so every day of life is some kind of question. Sometimes we have better odds than others on getting the answers correct. And as I recall, the most dreaded question was essay questions, where you had to write out a wordy response to a question. And how can you describe something that you don't even know how to pronounce? And so oftentimes essay questions on some people's papers just didn't get answered because they didn't have a clue. They could guess true or false. But I'm supposing that if you ask Mark or Jeline if they ever had these kind of questions in any of their classes, that they might have gotten some of the best laughs in their teaching career trying to decipher what a student was putting down for an answer to a question that they had on a test. We had one teacher that if he gave a fill-in-the-blank question and you put some kind of ridiculous answer down. He wasn't scared to bring that up in front of the others to maybe embarrass you enough to want you to try harder on the next test. So there were some that would rather leave the test blank, that question blank, than to face a chance that they might be way off. So at some point in our lives, we probably have always had a moment where we envied the teacher because they get to make out the questions. They know all the answers. And when you think about life, it's really no different today. There are days in our lives where we envy the teacher. The teacher is our Lord, Savior, because he knows all the answers. He knows how to live life, and he knows why things happen, and we don't always know why things happen. But our teacher has given us a fighting chance to know how to survive. And in 1 Peter, or maybe 2 Peter, I'll have it here later in my talk, but in relation to this, we are told that all answers that are necessary for godly living have been given. All questions of life, maybe not. And so we go through life with a lot of unanswered questions. But wouldn't earth life be grand if we were the teacher, if we made up the questions? Some tests I didn't mind if I was prepared for that class, or if it's a subject I was interested in, I didn't mind tests. But when it came to literature class, there wasn't any good tests. I hated literature. Sorry, Julie. But the math and science classes, those things that I enjoyed. And we had a class reunion a few years ago, and one of the girls that sat next to me said, "I'm so glad I sat next to you in algebra class because I didn't have a clue what was going on," and she had the ability to lean over and maybe see what I had written down, and because math was a subject that I liked. But the Bible tells us that every man is going to be tried as a Christian to see whether his faith is of God, whether he is anchored in his earthly treasures. And when it comes to life's test, we can't copy off of somebody else's test to get the answers. No two people are given exactly the same tests in life. We all have individual tests and have to come up with the answers. But we're all expected to come up with good results in the end. None of us are going to get the answers all right. The Bible's full of stories of men as they were tested in their life. And if you think your life is hard, all we need to do is go back and study and be reminded of what real tests for some individuals were. We go back in the Old Testament and we read about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had two choices. It would seem simple to most men. I'm just going to bow down to that idol. Save my skin. But it wasn't that easy of a decision for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to disobey their God that they would consider that choice. And they didn't. They made the other choice and said, "We will not bow down to that idol and disgrace ourselves in front of our Lord." And if you're going to cast us into the fiery furnace and that it is the Lord's will that we survive it, so be it. But we will not bow down. So they had a major test. And the Lord rewarded them for their tasks and their faith, that if it was his will, they would be delivered, that he did deliver them. Now, Job had it all. He had wealth. He had a large family, and he had his health. He was tested and lost them all. Now, even Christ had to be tested. 40 days out in the wilderness, and at the end of his life, he was tempted to not go through with it. We are told how he struggled with that, and sweat drops his blood, knowing what the future was. He knew what lay before him. It was not easy for him to go through it. He didn't even have anybody there to hold his hand to go through it with him, because it had to be his sacrifice. And all those that had spent the years before with him either fell asleep or abandoned him. And Peter got his test at that moment when Christ was also being tested. Christ passed his test, and Peter failed his. When Christ told Peter that he would deny him 3 times, Peter said, "No way." And then he had to be shown that the Lord was right. He did deny him. Does that mean that all was lost with Peter? No. He lost the battle. He didn't lose the war. And this is the point that we need to remember when we are getting tested on a daily basis. If you lose the battle today, don't wave a white flag and give up the war. Battles are individual tests. They are not the ultimatum of what the judgment will be for us. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have failed some portion of our tests. All of us have a chance to be redeemed in spite of that. If you had the opportunity to make up your own life's test, would you make life easy for yourself? Be pretty tempting, wouldn't it? Would you add a few easy decisions and take away a few of the unpleasant ones that we experience along life's way? When we have hardships, when we have losses, we are being tested to see what we're made of. Who here today has been tested to the degree that Job was, one of the richest men in the world, where he lost everything? He lost his children, and then he lost his health. And he lost the support of his wife, who advised him to curse God and die. And Job refused to do that. We in this congregation have lost earthly possessions. We have lost loved ones. We have individuals fighting for their health right now. Job lost all three. Oh, for the chance to be able to arrange my own life. What if before you were born, you were given an opportunity to pick where you were born? When you want to stop and think about your blessings, you are already better off than 98% of the people in the world, because you were born in this United States of America. If you had the choice to say where you were born, would anybody raise your hand that wished you were born in Afghanistan? With the way the world is right now, we know a lot of people that were born there are trying to get out. So when you want to count your blessings today, start with that. Thank God for America. Thank God you were born here. Assuming you got this chance to arrange your life as you were getting ready to enter this world, would you How much money would you like to make? What kind of mate do you want to find for your husband or wife? We do get to have some say about that. But as you think about all the things that are variables in your life that you really didn't have any say about, the road that you're traveling down right now or the road that you had to travel last year that may have been difficult, if you had your choice, you wouldn't have chose to go down that road. Some of those roads are hard. So as you're filling out your blank sheet, as you're getting ready to be born, do any of us get to fill in the blank of how old you're going to live to be? We don't get that choice either. I used to think when I was 20 years old, I wanted to live to be 100. I'm not sure of that anymore. Would you like to be born white or black, Oriental or Indian? We don't get that choice. We come as the Lord has made us. And it is man that has made those distinctions. God doesn't see those distinctions. Each one of those different races that the Lord has created are loved in God's sight and are equal in God's sight. What about when you leave this world? Do you get to choose that? You get to, if you have the option of choosing how you leave this world, Kenny Rogers had a song years ago called The Gambler. And the gambler was giving this man advice, and he said, the best you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And the point is, all of us have that day to face. It's a matter of, are you ready to face that day? None of us are going to choose to be tortured to death the way Christ had to submit himself to save us. None of us are going to choose to be paralyzed. None of us are going to choose cancer. None of us are going to choose Alzheimer's. So there are people on those roads. They didn't choose those roads. And there could be a road coming up for any of us that we have to travel in the future that we won't like. Now, what about your final day being, would you choose to be alive when Christ comes? Or would you find yourself, if you found yourself on that day when Christ came, would you be caught saying, oh my, I didn't know you were coming today. I'm sorry about the mess my life is in. It'll be too late. Choose now to be ready to meet the Maker. Would you like to have one child or five children? Would you choose to have several children knowing that you're going to lose one? Or would you choose to have no children because then you'd have no pain? When we love, it brings pain when we have to let go of that person we love. So would you choose to be an individual that never interacted with anyone because you didn't want to feel pain when things didn't go quite right with a relationship with someone? None of us want to go through life totally alone. It is better to choose love and accept the pain when it happens and find a way to cure the pain. We have conflicts with each other. They're painful. It can be a conflict with somebody in the church. It can be a conflict in your physical family. And all those things hurt. But they hurt because you loved first. So don't let the hurt and anger that hurt produces be the final end result of your experience of life. Experience love and overcome the hurt. If you get to choose your parents when you're born, none of us would probably choose to ask for somebody that was strict, would we? Because when we're children, we don't want somebody who's going to tell us what to do. Even though the Lord tells us that's what we need is guidance. And the Lord tells us that whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And if you're going to be a parent, remember that, that if you love your children, you will be willing at moments to step into shoes of where the child does not look at you as a friend for a period of time, but to save their soul and to correct their spirit, you're willing to chasten when chastening is needed. So if we had the choices of picking our lives before we entered this world, we would make an awful lot of bad choices, wouldn't we? There's a country song about a man. He's married, and he runs into the woman that was his high school sweetheart, and he was reminded of how he had prayed to God that if I can just have this woman for the rest of my life, I'll never ask anything again. And now that he is an adult, he looks back and is so grateful that that prayer was never answered. The scriptures teach us that we often don't know what to pray for, and the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf that we do the right thing, ask for the right thing, even if it hurts when we get the answer. What if we have one of the questions on our multiple choice list? During your lifetime, there will be A, a time to keep silent, B, a time to speak, C, a time to weep, D, a time to laugh, or is it E, all of the above? When we turn to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, and read the first 8 verses, we find that it's all of the above. Life is an emotion. No 2 days are always the same emotion. But it takes all those days to make a lifetime. It takes all those emotions to make a life. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 8 and 9, the Lord reminds us that my ways are not your ways. You have to learn my ways. It's not natural in some cases to do what the body is having a desire to do compared to what the spirit tells us we should do. I have this poem I'd like to read to you called Why. Wouldn't life on earth be grand if I could hold within my hand the answer to questions we don't understand? And no sorrow be known throughout the land. If I only knew the reason why our loved ones on earth have to die. There's got to be a better way than sorrow and pain that comes each day. The older I get, the more I see the grief that comes to friends and me. One day we're blessed with laughter and fun. The next we see God's will's been done. We live this life with no guarantee that tomorrow is sure to be. God doesn't owe us a thing, you know. Maybe tomorrow we'll all have to go. God breathed into us the breath of life. It's a gift from the heaven of lights. Earthly life will never be something to last an eternity. We know for a fact our time can be short before we have our day in court. Obey my commandments on earth, he said, and I will raise you from the dead. You'll live with me forever on high and never again have to die. I know you have questions on earth below, why life's sorrow must be so. I can only give you this reply. All questions will be answered in the sweet by and by. If Christians never got sick, if Christians never got seriously hurt, if Christians were never short of money, if Christians never died violent deaths or painful deaths, the world would become Christian. Not because they believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but because they don't want to suffer pain and difficult times. So people would become Christians not because they have repented in their hearts, but because of selfishness. So when we struggle with the challenges of life, and we have a tendency to want to say, woe is me, we have to remember that the Lord lets it rain on the just and the unjust. We have difficulties whether you are just or unjust. We have tests in life. We must believe that the future is with Christ in heaven, that it far exceeds anything that we know here on earth. Christ came down from heaven to convince us we should be there too. And he was so diligent in wanting us to believe it that he was willing to go to the point of being tortured to death to convince us to follow him. So what did Christ tell us? Did he say there's only one way to the kingdom of God? B, there's no disappointment in heaven. C, where we'll never grow old. D, there's a great day coming. Or E, all of the above. You know the answer. He's told us many things. Has he answered all of our questions? No. 2 Peter 1:3 that I referred to at the beginning reads this way, that he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So the answers that we need to know right now to please God, we have been given. We have the written word. The questions that we need to have an answer for now, we can get. And the questions that you want answered in the future, you have to keep his commandments. And those questions will be answered as well. We do have a freedom of choice for our future, and we can control our own destiny. We can yield ourselves to God and look forward to the future, or we can yield ourselves to ourselves, and we already have our reward. The past 10 years in my life in general have been a test, but the past 2 years in particular, been a test for Joyce and I. And during these years of being tested, I did not get all the questions answered right. I did not get to choose the questions that life presented. So as you have known me, if I have disappointed you and the way I've answered life's questions, I ask your forgiveness. I've made mistakes in trying to find answers to life. I'm sure all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, can say we've all made mistakes in answering life's questions. Remember, it's daily battles and a lifetime war. Is the war going to be won? That depends on whether you try to fight it yourself or whether you let the Lord lead you into your battles. The Lord will take you out of every battle. and he will help you win the war if you stay the course. Let us help you if we can with your life's battles, your life decisions, as we stand and offer an invitation song. If there's anything we can help you with, let us do so.